On this episode, we discuss strategies for each park at Walt Disney World. This is episode 129 of the Main Street Magic Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of Main Street Magic. I am your host, Jeremy Stein, and I am joined, as always, by my wife, Rhonda.
Hi, guys.
Make sure you check us out on the web at mainstmagic.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter at mainstmagic. If you have not done so, go out to Facebook, search for the Capture the Magic community, and make sure you ask to join. Really informative, fun, growing community, so we would love to see you out there. And don't forget to listen to the Capture the Magic podcast with Jared and Jamie Lee at ctmpodcast.com. They release new shows every Monday and Thursday, and Jared and I release a new Diz Dudes episode every Wednesday on that same feed. And here at Main Street Magic, we have new shows on Tuesdays and Fridays, so the Capture the Magic Network has you covered all week long. And if you're looking to plan your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or even Universal Orlando Resort, people go there too, not sure why,
you can reach out.
I'm going in May. I will probably be talking to Melissa Pilgrim with Years of Experience, because yes. I don't know anything about Universal, yep. Which is weird and scary to me. But reach out to Melissa at, now you got me all thrown off, MPILGRIM at themouseexperts.com. Let her know Main Street Magic sent you. She's going to give you the best rate, find the best package and deals. Planning a Disney World vacation is, any Disney vacation, probably Universal too, is extremely stressful. She'll help relieve a lot of that stress, help you out with fast passes, ADRs. All this is at no additional cost to you. Yes. And if you enjoy the Capture the Magic Network, and for some reason you want to hear even more of us, more from us, and you want some exclusive content, some exclusive vlogs, and you want access to the first couple episodes of our brand new show, CTM at the Movies, which is going to come out in a few weeks to the general public, then go to CTMVIP.com. Find out about Club 32, learn everything about it, and hopefully join. So this was originally going to start off. I kind of had an idea about just doing an episode on rope dropping and what we would recommend rope dropping at each park.
Okay.
And as I started doing that, I was like, well, if you're telling somebody to rope drop this ride, that probably means they have a fast pass for this other ride. But what if they can't get one for the other ride? So I think this is going to become more about rope drop, fast pass, and then modify. It's just going to be how to navigate each park using these features in a sense.
Okay.
So strategies for each of the four parks at Walt Disney World. and we've talked fast passes in the past, and we've talked rope dropping in the past. We did those before Toy Story Land opened. So obviously there are some changes there. So I think we're in need of a bit of an update anyway.
Okay.
So we're going to start at Magic Kingdom. And, you know, if you're not familiar with fast passes, go research and learn about fast passes that you can book. You know, if you're staying on property, you can get these at 60 days out. If you're staying off property, you can get them at 30 days out. Of course, if you are on property at that 60 day mark, you can book fast passes for your entire trip, no matter. You know, if it's 10 days, you can book all 10 days. If you're off property, it's literally 30 days before each of the days of your trip. So you can't, you know, so when you're first, the day you arrive, if you're 30 days out, you can't just book your entire trip at that point. You have to go in every single morning.
Okay.
These are, you know, you can book these at 7 a.m. on the day that you're able to do so. And you want to be in there before 7 a.m. For a couple reasons. Sometimes you even want to check the day before. We have noticed lately FastPass windows opening up a day or so before.
Okay.
Sometimes they can open up a little bit before 7 a.m. You want to make sure your computer's working or your phone. I recommend having both on hand because my Disney experience is wonky at best. On a good day, it's wonky.
Wonky.
Most days, it flat out doesn't work.
Oh.
So you want to be prepared for that. And we're going to, a couple of these, I mean, I'll be honest, if you're not in at 60 days, you're not getting them initially.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Flight of Passage, Slinky Dog, you're not getting them. It's not to say that over the course of the next 60 days, you might be able to pick one up or right. day of or day before. There's still options to do so. So we're going to start in Magic Kingdom. And when you're at your Fast Pass day, the first things I think we're going to recommend you look for is obviously Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, Peter Pan, and I like to throw Space Mountain
okay.
into the mix, even though Sounds it's a god-awful ride. Still, you should ride it, make your own judgment, hurt your own back, but go ahead and do that. And then, so let's go through the scenario first that you nail those three. You know, you're 60 days, you're on property, you get all three of those.
Okay.
If you're going to rope drop this park to maximize your time and the rides, where do we always head? What's our strategy for Magic Kingdom when we have those three fast passes?
Turn left head towards Adventureland and Frontierland.
Yeah.
We always go first to Jungle Cruise, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then
Pirates. We make our way up around a Big Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
Depending on the day, the weather, if we feel like it, we're doing Splash.
Mm-hmm.
And often we can still make our way around a Haunted Mansion, and we've knocked all of those out within the first hour and a half to 2 hours of the day, if that.
Right.
Usually with 20-minute or under wait times, and mm-hmm. that's more once you get to Haunted Mansion.
Right.
So Magic Kingdom was built, well, Disneyland was built, and then Magic Kingdom was built very similar, in mind that people were going to go right at the hub. And
right.
so you will see an influx of people who head straight to Tomorrowland and Space Mountain, or now they cut through the castle to head to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because they didn't get a fast pass.
Right.
So if you're able to fast pass those three, Rope Drop Adventureland and Frontierland, chances are once you use your three fast passes, you're able to add one additional and use that. So I would say you're probably going to still be able to, once you've used those three, you're going to be able to add on something like Small World.
Right.
Or Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
And then you just make your way around the park. If you've timed it right, you got your Peter Pan, maybe from 9:30 to 10:30. You got your Seven Dwarfs from 10:30 to 11:30. And you've got Space Mountain from 11:30 to 12:30. So as you make your way around the park, you're hitting those. You're hitting your fast passes. Then you're kind of just doubling back to pick up the stuff that you missed doing. And that's where I think you can add on.
Okay.
So let's just say you don't get Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Right.
Well, then I would say you pick up a Jungle Cruise or Pirates in its place, because those are going to get longer as the day goes on. And you look at rope dropping Seven Dwarfs, you mm-hmm. know, and that's exactly where you head to.
Or a small secret, if it still goes on, make reservations.
Be our guest.
Be our guest.
Yes.
And it's nice because you don't have to each pay for a meal if you have a family of four or...
Yeah.
One time, Jeremy and I just got a thing of pastries and coffee, I think, or something.
Yeah. Yep.
And because we got out of there so early, then we were able to basically rope drop, but stand in line for Seven Dwarfs Mine Train.
Yeah. And then we even headed right down to Space Mountain before the park opened.
Yep.
Because they start running these rides about quarter of mm-hmm. for those people. Now, this has gotten a little bit more difficult because you have to watch the calendar. Yeah. You want to make sure there is no extra magic hours for resort right. guests. You want to make sure now there's not an early morning magic event.
Right.
The paid event that's going to give people access. So look at that. And that's in general, too, with any of these. Plan, look ahead. And plan your day around extra magic hours if you're staying on property.
Yeah.
Because it's going to make all of this a lot easier. If you can get into Magic Kingdom at 8 a.m.
Yes.
as opposed to 9 a.m., well, that's a lot better. And if you're going to do that, then I actually recommend you head straight to Seven Dwarfs.
Okay.
So I think, though, that really helps with Magic Kingdom. And then, you know, we've talked a lot, too, in the past on both Diz Dudes, We'll Capture the Magic, and here about the Modify feature. If at first you don't succeed... Try again.
Try again.
Yeah. Try again. Because it could be that, you know, you
and
first get in
and try and try.
Yeah. And try and try and try up to that day. You know, you want to continually go. You can go into your fast pass and you can hit modify. You can look for new times. You can look for a different ride. And I even like, and we've done before now with some of these e-ticket rides, it's harder to modify because they truly are gone in a sense. But with other stuff, let's just say you use your three, and you pick up a Buzz Lightyear, but it's not till 4 p.m., and it's currently noon. You've already used all your three fast passes. Grab the 4 p.m., and then click modify. A lot of times you can modify that time up to where you really want to be. Disney knows you're in the park. They're tracking you. They don't want you to leave. I truly believe that you have better success when you're actually physically in a park modifying than you do when you're outside of one.
Yeah.
That's the experience that we've had. I remember Jared and I trying to grab Spaceship Earth one time, and we wanted to ride it around 12:30. We saw 3:30 available. Grabbed it within 10 minutes. We had a 12:30 from modifying up multiple times.
Wow.
So it really, really does work. All right, let's move over and talk Epcot. I'm going to say plan to, and here's our general strategy, Fastpass Frozen Ever After.
Yeah. That's too far to try to rope drop.
It's tough to rope drop. Yeah, you got to really book it back there.
Right.
And again, you're fighting that crowd of everybody else that's trying to rope drop it.
Right.
So what we like to do is Fastpass Frozen, rope drop Soarin'. Depending on your family, and if you're okay kind of breaking up, you can single ride on Test Track. So your family could break up and each do single rider. A lot of times you're still in the same vehicle. And then you can basically add on anything because you have to get three fast passes here. And because of the tiered system, you've got Character Spot, Frozen Ever After, Test Track, and Soarin' all on one tier.
Right.
So you can only pick one of those initially.
Right.
So anything else you get, you pretty much are just, you're like picking at scraps. I mean, you're getting Journey into Imagination, The Seas with Nemo. I would grab potentially Living with the Land if you're not going to do it first thing in the morning. But really, a lot of those other rides are not going to see big wait time. So. Yeah. Every time,
unless it's crazy busy,
of course,
we have seen it.
Yes,
we but have still, seen yeah, Nemo still some of these.
Oh, yeah, but it's been. I can't remember the last time we saw that at like a 30-minute or plus.
Yeah.
It's been a long, long time. We tend to not do it a lot anymore, actually. But if you could not get Frozen Ever After, I would still say you rope or you fast pass then Test Track, and you rope drop Frozen Ever After, and then make your way back to Soarin', or you just go ahead and do Soarin' and then go wait at Frozen Ever After.
Yeah.
You know, because this is one of the things, too, is, all right, if somebody said you have to wait 60 minutes for one of these three rides, you have to. Frozen Ever After, Frozen. Test Track, or Soarin'. Which one are you going to wait for and why?
Frozen because of the queue.
Yeah.
It's a neat queue, and it's a small queue. Where it kind of winds in and out before you do get into, what is it, Oaken's Trading?
Well, yeah, whatever. I mean, really into Arendelle. You know, it looks like you're in Arendelle when you go through the Wandering Oaken's Trading post. But no, you're right. I mean, Soarin' queue is one of the worst queues in all of Disney. It is old airport 1980s mall queue.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. So that's where I think... waiting, because sometimes you have to wait for rides. It's Disney World. You could use every strategy in the world and you're still going to have to wait for rides.
Right.
So if you're going to think about which ride you're waiting for, you know, and I mean, heck, even if it turned out that you had to wait, I don't really think Journey into Imagination is worth 30 minutes to wait for. But if you had to wait 30 minutes, I would rather wait 30 minutes in the queue for Journey into Imagination than I would at Soarin'.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some stuff to see and look at, and it's colorful, and there's
can't even recommend the Test Track one because
we've never been through the standby queue at Test Track, so we need to make that a point. Depending on crowds next Wednesday, maybe when we're there, maybe we'll see about actually seeing the queue. We've never seen it, but still, I think you need to take that into account with a lot of these. I mean, if you go back, if you had to wait 60 minutes. For Peter Pan, there's a lot to do in the queue and there's a lot to see.
Right.
Same thing with Seven Dwarfs. If it turns out that you do have to wait. Now, to be fair, Magic Kingdom, worst queue at Magic Kingdom is probably Space Mountain, but it really barely has a bad. I mean, Magic Kingdom has some good queues as far as those go. So if you're waiting, a lot of times it's not as bad there.
Right.
But again, modify if you need to. Spaceship Earth is, I would probably add to your fast pass because you're going to bypass it first thing in the morning, and those waits can get up later. It tends to be between about 1 and 3 in the afternoon. The wait times go down a little bit. So you could look at just, if you don't have a fast pass, doing Spaceship Earth around then. So your initial fast pass, if you can, Frozen, I would pick Living with the Land potentially, and I would pick probably Spaceship Earth.
Yeah.
Then just use the rest of these strategies to get around the park.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move down to Hollywood Studios, which everything has changed. You know, we used to have Toy Story Mania. We used to have Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror were all tier one, which meant you could only get one of those fast passes at a time when booking your three. We open up Toy Story Land. We add Slinky Dog. We add Alien Swirling Saucers. Tower of Terror and Rockin' fall off of the tier one list.
Oh.
And now we've got all of Toy Story Land is tier one. So you have three rides in Toy Story Land. They're on tier one. You can only get one.
Okay.
So obviously you're rope dropping Toy Story Land at this point.
Right.
Because it's the only way you're going to kind of be able to do everything.
Right.
Now, wait times have not been near what people were fearing. We're not seeing Pandora wait times.
Which is good.
Which is great. So obviously if you can, fast pass day, get Slinky. In addition, if your family likes the thrill rides, Rockin' and Tower. That's your three.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you're going to rope drop the rest of Toy Story Land. Take your pick. You can either do Alien Swirling Saucers first, or you can do Midway Mania first. It doesn't matter. You're going to be able to do both of those and then do your Slinky Dog fast pass whenever it is.
I would do, Alien Swirling Saucers first because the queue in Midway Mania is really cool.
That's a good point. So if you are going to end up waiting a little bit, just as we were talking about, then go ahead and wait in Midway Mania.
Yes.
If you cannot get Slinky Dog, get one of the other two there. Either get Alien Swirling Saucers or get Midway Mania. Rope drop Slinky Dog.
I started to say, we've seen Alien Swirling Saucers been able to get easier.
Yes, much easier.
Slinky Dog is not available. So yeah, absolutely. Rope drop Slinky Dog and then...
Yeah, I mean, heck, we rope dropped Slinky Dog on the day it opened.
Yeah, but we were there at
I know, but still waited an hour. I still think if you rope drop Slinky Dog, you're going to wait less than an hour.
Okay.
You pretty much are. So again, that's a strategy you can use.
Yeah.
If you're and Star Tours, you know, Star Tours could potentially be a third fast pass. If your family doesn't want to do Tower, you know, I don't really pick those up anymore because the kids won't do it. You know, Kaylin and I at least will do Rock and Roller Coaster.
Right.
But Rock and Roller Coaster has a single rider line, which her and I have even done.
Right.
So you do have options if you wanted to pick up Star Tours. Other than that, I mean, and that's the only thing with Epcot and with Hollywood Studios, the fact that we have the tiered system is very frustrating because you don't have a ton of rides.
Right.
So it makes it a little bit more difficult, I think. But I think, you know, Hollywood Studios is really easy to navigate. I still think it's a full day park. It is, especially now. We have found that the line for Slinky Dog, they pump a lot of people through. I can't remember the exact ride capacity per hour, but you'll get there and, you know, again, this is one where first thing in the morning, park opens, they send a cast member out with a sign that says 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's not 90 minutes.
Right.
You know, a lot of these are often deterrents. They're trying to get people in other areas of the park. They're trying to control crowd flow. They will inflate wait times to move people throughout a park, to get people to say, you know what, maybe we try it later. And then they actually do get the wait times down. Often these are inflated by 15 to 20 minutes. Because it's, you know, there's a couple reasons. One is a bit of a deterrent and try and move people as they want through the crowds. Another is guest satisfaction.
Right.
Because if it's posted at 90 and you wait an hour and 10 minutes, you feel like you just gained 20 minutes on your day.
Right.
So, you know, they will do that. So same thing with when we talk about Animal Kingdom and Flight of Passage. They're immediately going to state that it is a 90 minute wait to 120 minute wait as soon as the park opens, and it's not.
Excuse me.
Hollywood Studios is another one now. You need to try and take advantage of early or extra magic hours in the morning or in the evening. For that case, you can wait to, and I'll talk about that in a minute for some of these rides. But keep an eye out now for their early morning magic paid events, because that throws a lot of this out the window because you have people already in there who've done the hard ticket event.
Right.
But something to do with a lot of these is wait till the very end of the day.
Yeah.
You know, if Hollywood Studios is closing at 9 and you're not worried about seeing the fireworks spectacular, get in line at 8:50 for Slinky Dog. If you are in line before park close, the time of park close, you are allowed to stay in the line.
Yep.
So you might get in at 8:50. You might be riding by 9:30 and you're done. So that is another strategy for a lot of these. If you want to forego some of the evening,
because then you'll go a little bit faster because of they want to get home.
And to be honest, Slinky Dog and Toy Story Land is best enjoyed at night.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great time to go there.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Have you heard of this ride, this Flight of Passage ride? I hear all the kids are doing it these days.
Yeah.
It's apparently fairly popular.
Yeah, I've heard.
We'll try it out sometime. Yes, very long wait times. There's something about a dragon you fly on. You sit on his back or something.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
It sounds interesting, though. Mm-hmm. Should check that out. Yeah. Flight of Passage, obviously, at Pandora, and we joke. We are jokesters. But Flight of Passage is still seeing tremendous wait times. During Thanksgiving, it was back up to 3 and 4 hours.
It was.
So, yeah. Wow. I mean, this thing backs up. Again, it's a line. Well, first of all, the queue, once you get inside, is awesome. So, again, this is one that you're waiting, it's well worth the wait, not only because the queue's gorgeous and fun to look at and entertaining, but the ride is the best ride on earth. I mean, it is incredible. It's worth the wait.
I would wait 2 hours. I would wait 2 hours easily. For this.
I would. Yeah. We don't.
Because we did.
We did. No, we waited 80 minutes that one time.
Okay, hour and a half.
Yeah, hour and 20. Yep. So that was...
Would for sure wait an hour and a half.
Oh, for sure. But you don't need to, because there's two things. And this is another one, though, where the queue is very intimidating when you first see it, especially if you rope drop it, because you're backed up on the bridge to Africa.
Oh, yeah.
But obviously, here's what I would do. You know, Fast Pass Day comes about, and one thing is, all right, let's just say you're doing 5 days, okay? You're doing Monday through Friday. You got park days, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. Plan Animal Kingdom later in your stay, Thursday, Friday. Go get that day first for your Fast Pass.
Okay.
Then I would do that first. I would move to Hollywood Studios. I would move to Magic Kingdom, and I would worry about Epcot last as you're going through this. Something else you can do is you and your spouse, significant other, your kids, whatever, you sit down and you both do it at the same time, you know? So I'm booking, you know, Animal Kingdom while you're booking Magic Kingdom, you know, reach on our phone or something. So that is a possibility, but do Animal Kingdom first, go for Flight of Fast Passage first, no matter what day it is on your trip. But I recommend you do Animal Kingdom later in your trip if you really want to snag this. If you're able to get in, get Flight of Passage, get Kilimanjaro Safari, then take your pick probably between either Everest or Dinosaur. Everest has a single rider.
Yeah.
Dinosaur wait times fluctuate, but they tend to not be horrible.
Yeah.
And it can be a somewhat entertaining queue. I would rather wait in the queue at Everest if I had to wait.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of little cool things to see. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't have the one guy that rings every single bell as you walk through, and then it just becomes so annoying because they have all those bells throughout. And somebody's always got to be like, oh, I'll ring every single one. And you're not original, buddy. All right. So I would do that. And if that's the case, you get Flight of Passage, Safari and Everest, rope drop Navi River Journey.
Oh yeah.
Because as the day goes on, you know, we've said this is worth a 30 to 45 minute wait. I still think so. It's a short ride. Has some issues. It doesn't tell a story. So you kind of are just there just to look at the cool looking scenery. I mean, but it is cool.
Yeah.
But if you rope drop it, you're going to do it in under 30 minutes first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
If you cannot get Flight of Passage, then go ahead and try and grab Navi as a fast pass.
Right.
Which is much easier. And then rope drop Flight of Passage.
Right.
Again, take note of now we have extra morning magic. We have extra magic hours. We've got all this magic you got to watch out for. But I have literally, I have walked in at an 8 a.m. extra magic hour. I have been walking through the turnstile at 8 a.m. And I rode both Flight of Passage and Na'vi in an hour.
Did you?
So it is very doable. And yeah. and here's my thought. And again, this is all dependent on who you are. If the park opens at 9, you don't have extra magic hours that day. Park opens at 9. People are like, get there at 7:30. You'll be one of the first on Flight of Passage. Okay. So you wait an hour and a half, basically, right? You wait an hour and a half, mm-hmm. plus whatever additional walking through the queue. So you've maybe waited 2 hours because you got there at 7:30, technically.
Right.
I walk in at 8:30 because they actually open up and get you into Pandora
right.
30 minutes prior. Right. And they start lining you up down the bridge.
Right.
And I've ridden within an hour.
Right.
So the person who got there at 7:30 waited 2 hours. I got there at 8:30.
Right.
And waited 1 hour. It's not, now my 1 hour wait was all in the queue.
Right.
Their 2 hour wait was hanging out front, maybe drinking a coffee, and then, you know what I mean? So,
right.
So I do think that there's ways you can do it without having to get there crazy early.
Right.
This is the one to take advantage of extra magic hours. It's been on Wednesdays. I believe that's still the case. So if you can do Animal Kingdom on a Wednesday and you're staying on property or one of the surrounding hotels that offers extra magic hours, take advantage of it. And there's just something about starting your day off too with Flight of Passage or having a fast pass.
Yeah.
It's like this stress reliever, you know?
Yeah.
So, okay, let's just say, you can't get either. Then like I just said, if you can't get Flight of Passage and you can't get Na'vi, maybe you're staying off property, you're 30 day out, you couldn't get it. Maybe you plan this last minute. Just rope drop and you'll do both. You'll do both within the first 2 hours of your day.
Yeah.
And well worth it.
No, absolutely.
Is there anything else you think that about the way that we do these parks? You know, I mean, I know for us, we're early morning people at parks. We don't tend to spend the evening there.
Right.
All right. Here's what would you say to all the people who say, you know what? We're not really a rope drop family.
Right, because I feel like that's where we've become. The girls have been sleeping.
But I'm talking, but we've done the rope drop. We've done everything. But right. You have these people that say, "Hey, listen, we just spent $4,000 on a week long Disney vacation. We want to do it all, but you know what? We're really not a rope drop fan. We really don't get up early." What do you say to those people?
Well, hopefully you've got your fast passes then.
Yeah.
And then, I would just depending to like. Find out when the parades are. Find out when, and if you want to miss those or don't care about them, then that's when you ride some of the rides that you didn't rope drop.
Yeah. Perfect at Magic Kingdom during the Festival of Fantasy Parade.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you go hit some of these rides. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great point.
And then like you said, if you finish the park, if you're not a rope dropper and then you finish the park is, you know, make sure you have that one ride that you want to do and get in right before it closes.
Yep.
I
would also say,
what would you
rope
say?
Drop? and I'm not saying you have to do it every day. I get that some families, you know, and that's the thing is you still, it's a vacation.
Right.
And you do not want to stress yourself out.
Right.
You do not want to run yourself ragged or everybody will be miserable.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I get, you know, waking the kids up at 6 a.m. or something to go rope drop extra magic hours when they're not used to getting up. I get
right.
it. But I do think that, first of all, I would rope drop one day during your trip. And I would, if I had to rope drop anything, if you have a Flight of Passage fast pass, I would rope drop Magic Kingdom.
Yep.
If you do not, then I would rope drop Animal Kingdom, but I would pick a day to rope drop. And that means you plan out what does your night before look like.
Right.
You know, don't do an extra paid ticket event that runs till midnight the night before, or don't be out, you know, maybe the night before. And here's what I would even do with this 5 day scenario. If you're doing parks Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, first of all, no matter your stay, I like 2 days on, 1 day off. I think that's important. Because if you're going at it open to close on Monday and Tuesday, nobody's going to want to do that again on Wednesday.
Right.
So take the day off.
Yeah.
So maybe you take the day off on Wednesday, you spend by the pool.
Hotel.
Yeah. Hotel, mm-hmm. Disney Springs. You get a good night's sleep that night, and then you rope drop whatever park Thursday.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's kind of a way to do it. But yeah, what you said, I think, about taking advantage of the evening time and right before the park closes, the parade. during the parade at Magic Kingdom is a great time, you know, especially if you're going to do more than one day at Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
What do you think about Park Hopper for, again, this scenario of a family that's going for 5 days, doing 4 days park? Do you think the Park Hopper is worth it, or is that another opportunity for them just to run themselves ragged?
Well, I would say depends on your time of year. For example, this time of year with the holiday stuff, I would say absolutely a park hopper. Because, you know, you can enjoy, like, for example, my parents were going with them and they only have one more day, but they can park hop. So we're going to go on a Saturday and we're going to go to Magic Kingdom because of the beautiful decorations for Christmas and everything. And then
Jingle Cruise.
Yep. Yes. And then that night we're going to be at Hollywood Studios so we can see all the lit up decorations. Yeah. Dark.
Yeah.
When it's
yeah,
dark.
Nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, I think you're right there.
But
otherwise, if it's summer, you think park hopper is necessary in summer for your 4 days and your...
No. Especially if you're a 5 day. If you've already got 5 days, I would say no.
Well, and here's my fear. To me, park hopper can be a lot like dining plan, where you almost get into this thing where you're like, I spent my money. I have to take advantage of it. And next thing you know, you're hopping from park to park. Or it's you know, Monday, it's 2 p.m. Monday, and you're at the Magic Kingdom, but you haven't technically done everything you did, but you're like, we paid for a park hopper. We have to go to another park now.
Right.
And you're leaving the Magic Kingdom. Right. Or so again, I think it's one that it can be tough. You know, we have park hopper because we're annual pass holders. We rarely park hop.
We
use all of these strategies to enjoy.
Right.
And then something else kind of as we wrap up, I do want to talk about again, we've talked about so often is, you know, we're telling you how to maximize the parks. We're telling you how to do as much as you can do. But as we always say, your vacation should not be about how much you do.
Right.
You know, if you go to Disney World and you don't ride Flight of Passage, guess what? The world isn't ending.
It might kind of. I'm just kidding.
For some people, the world is not ending.
I'm
Flight of Passage will be there the next time you visit Disney. Don't have a checklist and say, I have to do these 10 rides or this vacation was not a success.
Right.
You know, because some of the best and waiting stinks. Nobody wants to wait an hour and a half, 2 hours in a queue for a ride.
Right.
Nobody. There's not a single person on earth. Probably. And if they are, they're a crazy person. If somebody said, would you rather walk on Flight of Passage or would you rather wait 2 hours for it? If any person says, I'm cool just waiting the 2 hours, they're obviously insane.
Okay.
But take advantage of those 2 hours.
Yeah.
You're there with your family. There's stuff to see. We love the Heads Up app that you can download from iTunes, and I'm assuming it's on Android. You can play that. You can, you know, there's now the Disney Play app. You know, there's Disney trivia apps. Make the most of it.
Yep.
You know, I've said before that some of our best memories have often been waiting in queues and just having fun.
Right. Yep.
You know, pack snacks.
Yep.
Pack, you know, some drinks or whatever you need to get through and just enjoy. Go to the bathroom before you get in a 2 hour queue. So apparently they are now giving bathroom passes at Flight of Passage in the queue.
They should.
Yeah.
I do agree with that because it is a long wait. And
yes, it can be very long. So yeah, it's kind of like,
especially like with the kids too, because there's so many times where like there's been time even with our kids, we've waited in a line and we've gotten right up almost to the front and they're like, I have to go to the bathroom. And I'm like, what? Now,
two options, you hold it or you pee your pants.
No. But luckily they have been
saying
able
there's a third option
to hold it. No, but you wouldn't pee your pants, you would go to the bathroom.
Well, the other option is you hold it. I gave them two options.
Well, oh, well.
Wear adult diapers if you have to.
We'll take them and you get to ride the ride still. But anyways, but in all honesty, they would do that. And then, you know, ask a cast member too, if you're right up at the front
and
your kid has to go to the bathroom, you know, they'll
yeah,
make exception.
Yeah,
and
they're not going to just boot you. And
hey, you got to go back to right, this two-hour wait line now.
But, you know, it's so funny because we've said before, too, like, man, it would be amazing if they had, like, you know, drink carts set up in these long lines. But that's exactly why they don't. Last thing you need to do is get an hour into a two-hour wait, drink a 16-ounce Bud Light, and then have to pee 10 minutes later. So they're pretty much trying to cut that off.
Right.
Going back to Jingle Cruise and Jungle Cruise, do you think in the next year at any point The Rock visits Disney World and takes over as a skipper for at least a ride as like a promotional stunt? Or do you think it happens at Disneyland? That's where Johnny Depp always did his little thing at Pirates. But man, I would, like, if I saw that on social media right now, I would get in the car right now and drive to Disney.
Okay.
And then try and find him.
Okay.
I'd probably still wear my suit. Nah, I don't think that's really a Rock thing, is wearing a suit. But
no.
Well, I think we kind of covered navigating these parks. I know that was kind of all over the place, and this was all almost like a all these different things in one. This was like a fast pass episode and a rope drop episode and a, you know, skip the fireworks to go at night on a ride episode and, you know, take a break in the middle of the week episode. But I do think it's important to cover all these things. And we actually just had, it was perfect because this morning in Club 32. So if you do join Club 32, there is a private Facebook group. Right now, that's where you're going to get your additional content that we're providing, but you're also, it's a little easier access. You know, we're at over 800 members in our regular community, and that's not going anywhere, but things can get lost easier in there.
Yeah.
You know, with that many people, and Club 32 now is a great place. We will be sharing some extra content there that we're not going to share in the regular community. But we had somebody this morning say that, you know, her aunt was going for the first time in 20 years with, like, I think three kids. One of them's 18 years old and was basically saying, what do you wish somebody would have told you before you went for the first time? And I think this episode is kind of a, these are the things that I wish people would know before they go.
Right.
So hopefully this really does help people, you know, whether it's your first time, whether you go once a year and you kind of, you know, you haven't been since maybe Pandora or Toy Story Land opened.
Right.
These are the ways that I think you can navigate and you can better enjoy the park. But again, you're on vacation. You're at the most magical place on earth. You're hopefully with people you like. I mean, I know sometimes maybe it's a family reunion and, you know, Uncle Ted's a little bit weird and you really don't want to wait 2 hours in the line at Flight of Passage with him. But just saying in general, just, you know, make memories, enjoy your time there.
Yep.
It's a great time to look around. It's a great time to see all the little nuances and the little details that they put into these queues. And it's a great time to meet people in line and talk to people and find out where they're from and how often they go. And, you know, so I think you can do all those different things. But again, go out, ctmvip.com. You can get all the information on Club 32. Can't wait to release our new CTM at the Movies to the general public here in a few weeks. We did Santa Claus 3. We just did Mighty Ducks. and CTM at the Movies is basically all of us sitting around, and I'm excited when you will join after the holidays when your schedule isn't so crazy. Right now it's Jared, Jamie, and myself. We watch old Disney movies like The Mighty Ducks or Santa Claus 3. Usually they're movies that maybe aren't the best in the world, or something like The Mighty Ducks, which we thought was the best thing growing up, and now you're like, maybe it's not as good as we remember as a child. And we kind of just go through, we break it down in what we hope is a entertaining way. I really enjoy talking about these. Wait till you hear the Mighty Ducks one. It has some moments, I think. So yeah, I'm excited for you to hear that one. But you can also go out and please subscribe if you have not done so already, not only to Main Street Magic, but make sure you subscribe to Capture the Magic, because that is where you will get the Capture the Magic podcast, Diz Dudes for now. Eventually Diz Dudes is going to go on its own feed. You get Trip Tales with Jamie, which is coming out once a month. And then that's where you're going to find CTM at the Movies. So make sure you subscribe to both. Leave us all ratings and reviews. We hope that they're good ones. If they are bad ones, then you can just email Jared at ctmpodcast.com and you can complain about whatever you would like to him. He loves getting those. It's just his favorite thing ever. So
just like bears, huh?
Just like bears. Yeah. Just email him at jared@ctmpodcast.com. Make the subject line bears, and then in the content, just do a picture of Big Al from Country Bear Jamboree. Please do that. I would like to see how many we can get to send over his way. And I hope maybe he won't listen to this and people start sending it. And he's going to be like, why are people just randomly emailing me pictures of Big Al? What is going on? Oh, that would make my day. I can see just getting a text from him like, I just got like 10 emails with just pictures of Big Al and the subject is bears. Like, yes. What is happening? Be like, I have succeeded in life. But do please leave us a rating and review because
it helps our show grow.
That's all we've got. We'll see you real soon.